So how many HubSpot experts does it take to replace a light bulb?
I don't know, Mike. How many HubSpot experts does it take to replace a light bulb?
None, because there's an automation for that.
Oh!
Why did I allow you to do this?
Welcome to another episode of Little Talks, your weekly dose of marketing news and insights from Littlefield Agency.
Welcome to the studio. On that note, what a way to kick off our podcast. Yeah. Welcome back to another edition of Little Talks with Littlefield Agency. I'm Sam Littlefield. With me is
Steve Roop.
And our special guest of the day,
Mike Simon.
Mike, welcome. It was so good. Can you turn it up just a little bit?
Here.
Claudia, thank you. It's great to have you here. Your first time being a guest on this podcast in the studio.
This is our first guest at this table, period.
At this table, period. You are right.
Yeah. We've done some remote guests. This is our first.
That's a first for Mike. And then, Mike, you want to show everyone the other new first?
So for those of you who get the pleasure of coming on and being a Little Talks guest.
Look at that.
I was a guest on Little Talks.
Yeah, these are limited.
Littlefield Agency.
You only get this if you're a guest on Little Talks. I don't have one.
So Mike is our first guest at this table,
the
first guest to get this.
No.
Well, we do have the ones that Trent gave us for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. But not, and he's got a great, not official merchandise licensed by the agency.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's pretty neat. Roop did that. Cool. I got to give him a
And I like the color. I appreciate the color. I love it.
Mike is down here today. He's here monthly, as a lot of you know, for those that are listening on the regular. And he's joining us. They've got a full day ahead for everything in the sense of CRM and marketing. But we stole Mike for 30 minutes. Chelsea, thank you. It's funny. She tried to sit down earlier. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? She also noticed that she has a picture of herself right behind Roop. So yeah. She obviously doesn't engage with
her. Not at all.
I was thinking that maybe it'd be a new one, but it's the same one.
Yeah, I ran out of time. We have some plans for back there, though. It's going to get wild. Yeah.
So as we have been collaborating with Mike over the last week, just on our podcast topic, we love talking HubSpot. We love talking all things CRM, email marketing, et cetera. That is obviously what Mike and Roop do for a big part of your living.
Yep.
We're switching it up this week, though, and we might broach HubSpot at some point, but... Mike is a, how long have you been with Grasshopper, Mike?
12 years.
Holy.
With five before that at our agency in Wichita.
That's right. So really 17 years.
17.
Yeah. Oh, 17 yeah. years of Grasshopper knowledge. You've been here for 13.
I think that's right. Yeah.
So you guys are right neck and neck with each other. So Mike has a plethora of experience just in all things Grasshopper, in all things CRM, but in all things dealer marketing.
Mm-hmm.
For those that listen, B2B dealerships, distribution networks, distributor, we're going to talk about just the ins and outs of dealer networks. I talk to a lot of people on a weekly basis that sell through authorized dealers. For example, Ditch Witch has authorized Ditch Witch dealers. But I would say 85% of the prospects and customers that we work with are what we call rainbow dealers. What mm-hmm. would you call them?
Yeah, that's a...
Is that a
rainbow,
decent...
Rainbow
okay,
dealers.
Rainbow dealers. So, you know, Grass, how many dealerships do you guys have, Mike?
Oh,
1,000?
About 1,000.
About 1,000?
At least in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk through the ins and outs of what that looks like, because mm-hmm. these dealerships, while there are great dealers out there that push a lot of Grasshopper product, they are also incentivized to try and push other products as well, your competitors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's start this off with Mike. Give us just kind of a treetop view of your experience the last 12 years with your dealers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking about this as we were going to be talking about it, and man, a lot has changed in 12 years.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know, 12 years ago, Facebook was, I mean, it was a thing, but it wasn't the thing that it is now. And certainly digital has just revolutionized the media landscape in so many ways. I mean, we used to really focus in on more of a traditional mix.
Absolutely.
Not just for us as a brand, but also the dealers were, you know, they were dealing with radio, newspaper, television, and billboard primarily. And then some maybe, you know, other local opportunities, sponsorships, those kinds of things.
Sam's dad used to call that the good old days.
The good old days.
They were great days.
Yes. Well, it was a heck of a lot.
And it's crazy that it was 12 years ago.
Yeah. Well, Yes.
Like that doesn't seem like that long ago, I mean, but Google, it was a long time ago.
Google's been around since, you know, for what, 20 or so more years with AdWords and that kind of thing. But it wasn't as disruptive, or it wasn't as challenging as it is now, in terms of what do you place, how do you place it, when do you place it, targeting, all that was all that was a lot, a heck of a lot simpler, just because of the nature of media. And so, you know, we had a, we've always had a co-op marketing program with our dealers, where they have access to funds to that, that we help to support them in their local advertising efforts. And that was really primarily based in traditional media.
Yep.
And then the explosion in digital happened, has happened, as has progressed, has just gotten infinitely larger. And it's become more of a challenge, not just for the dealers, but for us as manufacturers, for you guys as agencies. I mean, we're having a heck of a time keeping up. I can't imagine a dealer or dealers that are, like you said, they're not just repping one brand. I mean, there are some of our dealers that that Grasshopper is their primary focus, but the majority of dealers are, like you said, rainbow dealers. They have a Grasshopper, they'll have four or five other brands potentially that they're also trying to sell, keep up with the marketing messaging, and not only those, but maybe handheld equipment or other supplies and that kind of thing that they're selling to their customers that are coming through. So they're focused on a wider range of things. Plus, they're small business owners. They've got payroll. They've got taxes. They've got a whole bunch of other things that are on their plate. And we have the benefit of, as marketers, of really honing in and understanding the craft. Whereas they're just, I mean, I can't imagine trying to do all of what they have to do, and then try to figure out, okay, how do I market the products that I'm selling? So it's becoming more of a focus on helping the dealer to understand here's where you should be, because in some ways that's not for us to say because we're not in their local community, but and in their local market, but here are the places that are that we know our customers are, that that we've been focusing in on at a national level or digital and targeting, and then helping the dealers to craft local or community centric messaging and opportunities that they can reach those people that look like that in their area to, you know, that we can support them in that effort.
And they're leaning heavily on you and us for that message, for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know some of your dealers really well.
Yeah.
You just alluded to the fact that they've got payroll to run, they've got product to push. Is marketing even top of mind? Like they're trying to sell stuff. I essentially at the end of the day, they got to push product.
Yeah.
So as you've developed relationships over the years, what does that, like, is it a marketing first mindset? My assumption is no.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it's marketing first. There are certainly dealers that have a closer pulse to marketing and sales related activities, or sales activities that are related to marketing, not just, you know, how someone comes in the door and they engage in the sales process at that point. But yeah, it's not probably the first thing that they're thinking about. Certainly probably not even the I don't know if it's in the top 10.
Totally.
Potentially.
Understandably.
How could you blame them, really? So it's incumbent upon us as manufacturers, as marketing departments at the manufacturer level to, one, really understand that that is the challenge for them, and two, to help them to understand what, if they're going to employ some marketing initiatives, how can we help them and make that as easy as possible?
Yes.
Like, we don't want to make that challenging. We don't make that hard, because if we make it hard, they're either not going to do it, which is not great, or they'll go somewhere else and push something else, which is equally not great. So we've got a balance that we have to strike.
So Rupe, do you have any thoughts there?
No, not yet.
National brand, local presence. It's a great point. Mm-hmm. You have 1,000+ dealers all over the country. You know, where you guys primarily, you know, sell the most mowers.
Right.
So how are you working with dealers on specific, I mean, a message in Texas is very different than Nebraska and Idaho, et cetera. Like, what does that look like? There's different selling seasons, right? Right now in Wisconsin, it's still potentially snowing.
It could. Yeah. So there's some regionality to it. There's timing that's involved. I mean, really, I mean, there are different grass types and seasons and that kind of thing all over the country. But really, when it comes down to it, the core message doesn't change, but the audience is certainly different. If you are talking to a rural Texan, that's going to be different than if you're talking to a suburban New Yorker, or something like that.
Great example.
So from that perspective, that can be, and that's where the dealers can have a greater understanding of who they're trying to reach, who their specific target market is. But the targeting parameters, if you use the jargon, aren't really going to change much. I mean, we know we have specific parameters that we focus in on for any potential buyer or target in any particular area, and there's some commonality there, and then regionally or seasonally it diverges from there. But yeah, there are definitely dealers that are more ahead of that game, mm-hmm. and ahead of that curve, and they don't need as much support. And then there are others who definitely should be or could be taking more advantage of the tools that we provide, or at least the resources that we provide. I mean, from that perspective, we've learned that at least I mentioned that, you know, digital has revolutionized this, and it not just in a bad way. It's not like it's just become chaotic. There's certainly something to that, but it's become a lot easier for us as a manufacturer to advertise at a local, at a national level, but also make it feel more localized. So, you know, right now we're pushing national advertising programs on social media and Google and elsewhere with a real, to an extent, a real local feel, and we can get we can get those prospects directly to the dealer in inquiring for the product that we have specifically in real time, where the dealer doesn't really have to think too hard as to what the next step is in that selling process, or at least in that engagement process with that prospect.
What I love about that is I would call that softening the beaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was at in Nashville, I was in Nashville last week at my CEO conference, and there's a CMO panel. And one of the ladies on the panel was phenomenal. And she said 75%, this was actually in B2B, 75% of B2B buyers already have done their research and at that point know which product they're going to buy. So to your point, right, that we have done our job with you. They walk into said dealer and say, Bob, looking at this model of Grasshopper, talk to me.
Right.
They get it across the finish line. But at that point, it makes Bob's life, the dealer, a hell of a lot easier, because that person has already gone through from awareness down to the consideration phase,
right?
Soon path to purchase.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's Mike, as you think about it, that's an ideal situation. There are some people that walk in and say, hey, I've got 10 acres of property in suburbia, and I'm looking for a zero turn mower, talk to me. Right.
Right.
So from your perspective and your relationship with dealers and just knowing dealer networks so well, what is an opportunity, whether it's a really good dealer or just a dealer that is so-so, for them to better tap into the power of marketing to eventually push more product for their dealership?
Yeah. One thing I'll pick up on
Please.
What you just said, and then I'll go back to what you just asked, and that is with regard to education and research before they even step foot in the dealership. You know, even 5 years ago when we would take phone calls, inquiry calls, directly at the factory. You know, someone would call in, you know, very frequently you'd hear, hey, I am looking for a zero turn mower. I don't really know anything about Grasshopper. Can you tell me about it, or versus brand X, Y, whatever. Yeah. And that's a very fairly common exchange. And now I hardly get any of those calls. Like hardly get any calls that are
interesting.
Very general in nature. Now I get calls that they've done their research. You can tell they've done their research and their homework, and they have very specific questions about very specific pieces or components or systems or whatever. And so that
that's speaks fantastic, to, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and that's great because that says that, well, it speaks not only to the shift that you mentioned, but it also tells me that we're doing a good job of providing that type of content and education that people can go find on their own, which is great because any time that someone can become invested in something, have skin in the game themselves, they're much less likely to walk away from that. Yeah. So if you can get someone coming in committed to, I want to buy a grasshopper, and you can get to that, you can help them get to that point before they even step into the dealership. It's like you said, it's a heck of a lot easier for that dealer than to take that prospect and get them across the finish line. And now I have forgotten what your question was. I'm so sorry.
My question was, luckily I've remembered.
You're younger than me.
What is the opportunity for them, for great dealers, for okay dealers, for any dealers, to take advantage of just, and like you said, you've alluded to the tools and the technology, and it's so much easier to go and get in front of more customers at a fraction of the price. What is their opportunity? Just if they had one takeaway, hopefully you get to share this podcast episode with some of your dealers. What's one key takeaway is you're in busy season, man.
Right.
You're in your busy selling season. So here we are at the end of April, early May, from now until Christmas. What would be one takeaway for them just in the sense of how they can better use the power of marketing to sell more product?
Yeah. So the one I'll give two, but the first one would be, don't wait till now to try to figure it out, because if you're trying to figure out in season, then you're already behind.
You're behind.
So this is something that you have to think about well before that selling season comes. So you've got to have a plan in place. And I think that's probably the main thing would be, yes, we've already alluded to the media landscape is so fractured and divergent and chaotic to an extent. What do you place? When do you place it? How do you place? Like, you're pulled in all these different directions. Step back, identify who and you may have different, even in one community, you may have, or local area, you may have different targets for different products that you're selling. You know, obviously for a grasshopper, it's going to be it's a consumer product. It's a business product too, but it's not going to be the same buyer that would be buying something, you know, on the lower or entry level threshold of the zero turn market. And so know that, know who you're going to talk to, but then have that plan going into it. Take the time to sit down and think, okay, what are the key aspects of this brand or this product that I want to get across, and when would be the best time to do that? Like for us now, obviously, with mowing season, but there are off-season opportunities with our product, with snow removal, leaf collection, and all other manner of different things that you could be thinking, okay, I want to definitely focus on mowing, but also I want to have some left for snow season or for leaf season or whatever. And then be thinking not only that around, you know, timing, but also placement. I mean, there are some dealers who have opportunities in their local communities that we would never think of. Like one dealer just absolutely cannot go without having an ad on the placemat menu of the local diner. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we'll co-op that.
Love that.
I mean, really, because that is something that is specific to them. Now, we probably wouldn't co-op everybody doing that.
No, but
that'd be like,
it's a great example.
Is that a key fixture in your community? And if so, then that may probably makes sense to be there. You know, does it make sense to go try to, if you're out in rural wherever, like 150 miles from your city center where the local television station is, do you need to be advertising on local TV? Probably not, because the majority of the people that are going to be reached by that are not going to be your buyer.
Yes.
Because they're not going to drive 150 miles to come buy from you, unless you have a very, 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 very specific product that, like a Ditch Witch or something where it's maybe in one state. You've got one dealer in one state. But, you know, think about not only timing, but also placement, and then, you know, the product or message that you're trying to reach. And those are just so general and vague. It's almost elementary to talk about them, but there are so many people that miss that, and they get to, they start thinking in all manner, and then they get analysis paralysis, and then they don't do anything, and that's just as bad as.
Well, and here's the thing, Mike. You think it might be elementary to talk about because you guys are doing it so well.
Right.
I talk to so many people that I know someone, won't name names, that are just now trying to figure out a co-op program. Mm-hmm. And they're a pretty established B2B brand here in America. And it's just like, wow, right? And there's the opportunity ahead. But you guys are so far ahead of the game. It isn't elementary. It's something, this is exactly why we have you on here today talking about this. I was thinking as I'm jotting some notes down, a great follow-up to this segment next time you're in town is talking about some of the ins and outs of CRM and dealers.
I was waiting for that.
Mr. Quiet Man over there.
I was waiting for CRM talk.
Yeah, and that's okay, because guess what? That episode, I'll let you two geek out, and I'll hang here and just kind of facilitate. But it did get me thinking, because what you have done in the last year and how you have leveraged that dealership network and your relationship with the dealer through a CRM is really powerful.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here thinking, as you're talking, I'm just kind of sitting here thinking about all the things we've done and are continuing to do and will be doing, all the data we're gathering, this first-party data, and how that gets leveraged in even greater ways for those dealers that in some ways they may never even see, right? Like on this side, there's a lot of work that kind of goes into getting that lead ready and prepped and down the funnel and into the store. Yeah. And I mean, that's a total benefit that you as a brand are leveraging a CRM across your entire dealer network to send them.
Yeah. Leads. And I think that would be a great follow-up as far as a topic, because, you know, there's a lot of work that goes, a lot of background work that goes into setting up a lead generation system or process, and then not only generating it, but then distribution, follow up, and you've got to have a way to track that.
Totally.
You can't just leave that to, gone are the days where you could do that with an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore with rudimentary tools. You have to have more advanced automated systems that are they're not just set it and forget it. I mean, but set it up, get it going, and then that's when the real work starts, because then you've got to massage it, you've got to keep it going, and there will be changes, shifts along the way that you've got to be able to stay fluid with it.
So. Yeah.
We always talk about closing the loop, right? Because once you've done your job and delivered said lead to dealer, your job's not done yet, right? Like,
no,
they got to still sell that product. And hey, when I go to a Grasshopper dealer, if I went in there today, I may not be ready to buy a mower.
You may not be. It may be a couple of years. And I've had that experience directly, where someone would come in. You know, I wouldn't recognize it necessarily, but they come into our system, they churn, and then I get a call and I look this guy up, and sure enough, he inquired 2 years ago, and here he is now ready to buy. And it just took a little while. You know, you get the interest going, you get the juices flowing.
Absolutely.
And then you keep those touch points going until they are ready.
Yeah. Exactly. And that would be something that a dealer, that'd be one other takeaway that I would give for a dealer is, or anyone selling any product anywhere, is that you have to have continuous touching base with that person. And it's not necessarily always a direct call or a direct email. It could be that, but it could be as simple as like an email nurturing or some sort of mailer system or something, where you're just another touch point. Keep that fresh, top of mind awareness, being in front of them.
Stay present, stay helpful. That's what you do.
Consistency is what you're after, because the second that you stop is the second that they're going to be enamored by something else, and then it's a lot harder to get their attention back.
Well, I think about that 2 year sales cycle. Last thought on this note is on that longer buyer's journey, and to your point, getting closer.
Yeah, there you go.
To your point, Rupe, is we're not selling them for 2 years. We're educating them. We're entertaining them. We're showing off our product.
We're aligning them with the brand.
Totally.
Yeah. Right.
Totally. So, Mike, this is awesome. Thank you. Very, very insightful. To those that are prospective customers, and would love to hear your thoughts on this, because I talk to you all a lot, and there's a great opportunity with dealer networks. I mean, I'll give, we've been working with Mike for almost 9 years now, and Trent, and we know that team so well. Grasshopper is an amazing family-owned company. I don't say that to blow smoke towards Mike. We kicked off the Williams relationship a couple weeks ago, and the brand manager told me a story about how her husband's mom has had a grasshopper her whole life. And now that her husband finally bought one and he was so excited. And it's just like that kind of thing is what we love to hear. There's no direct correlation to grasshopper with this client. They're in a whole different manufacturing business, yep. But it speaks to the depth and breadth of their product. It's amazing. It lasts a long time. And you guys are doing a great job. So it's always fun having you down here.
Help us do a good job.
No, of course. And we're happy to. So if you're in the market for a mower, this is your guy. He'll talk all day about it. Grasshopper Mower. Amazing company. Thank you, Mike. You guys have a great day ahead.
Yeah.
To our listeners, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Adios.
Bye.
And that's a wrap. We hope you've enjoyed our little chat and found ways to grow your own marketing strategies. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social media @Littlefield Agency.